Yes, it's that time of week again. Does that make any sense? That time of week? Woo! Where we, the great, awesome people, the powerful people at Nonproductive, bring to you our Disney Power March Madness! Oh! Should have informed people not to yell because I did not pop the mics correctly for that. Woo! I am Frank. I'm joined in the studio by everyone, effectively. There's so many people here. Wow.
Yeah, full studio.
Should I even mention people's names? Does anyone even care?
Yeah,
if you care, leave a comment on this podcast. No one's going to leave a comment. Nobody cares. Yeah, well, this isn't going to work at all. Is your mic even literally on?
Is it on?
Yes, it is. No.
Is it
no,
literally on? Literally.
Shake it.
Literally?
I want, no, we're going to do the production here. You keep twisting it. Talk into it. It's not working.
Talk sweetly.
Did someone touch a button?
How about now?
Yeah, it goes.
All right, good.
We're good.
That's good. Hey, that was
and
pretty seamless, right? Can we just...
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, no one would notice that. All right, we're leaving that into the podcast.
We're good.
Nope.
Listen, there's no way I'm going to edit with all the baloo doo doo ba doo because this, spoiler alert, might be the last round he's in this competition. All right, so yes, once a year we do a March Madness, typically in March, as it's done.
Sometimes
where we do
May.
Some sort of geeky topic, and this month our geeky topic is... powerful Disney characters. We're going to try to find the most powerful Disney character. And I'm pretty excited about this. So we should start every podcast fumbling. And then afterwards, immediately describing what the point of this March Madness is. So Disney power, I say in my now professional radio voice, it's a complicated thing. Mm. It can mean different things for different people.
Yes.
Sometimes it means magical power or raw ferocity. Oh. And sometimes it means significance, both in not muting your phone before the podcast begins and also other things. Yes, there's no way that got picked up. I don't really care anymore. I am so upset by the results of this March Madness that I really like... upset. We had like almost a 50% upset from the first round. This one, not quite as many, but there are a lot
of
upsets.
Still upset.
That last one upset the hell out of me.
Oh, you mean the last competition game, I believe 16 in our competition. Yeah, it was pretty complicated. So we're going to go right into it. We're going to reveal the matchups from round two of this competition where we pit all our favorite Disney characters against each other and talk about which ones were the most, destroyed. There a lot of people these we had
who got
Ponzord? Quite as many one-sided battles this time around.
But that's a good thing though.
Yeah.
I think it shows that people are voting with their hearts.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say it shows. So let's begin from the beginning, as it were. We're going to go over the first competition, game 1 of round 2 on our Disney Power contest. It was Maleficent versus Elsa. Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty versus Elsa from Frozen. So this was actually kind of a cool competition. I would have liked to have seen this film.
Yeah. Well, but, we're gonna.
Yeah. Well, are we?
Yeah. What is it?
We did
Snow
this
White and
last week.
Where the Huntsman sequel is apparently going to be about the Ice Queen versus the Wicked Witch and so on and so forth.
So you guys are implying that...
It has nothing to do with Disney, though.
I know, but it's
basically that movie.
Anyway. Moving on.
And the Wicked Witch was not, in fact, Maleficent.
I'm sorry.
She was a wicked
fairy.
The
Evil Queen. My mistake.
Yeah, she wasn't really an evil queen either.
A pretty tall fairy.
Yeah.
Not really Maleficent.
I don't know. I don't think this holds up. This doesn't hold water. So anyways, how would you guys vote for this one?
I mean, I love Maleficent, but I definitely voted for Elsa. I think there's a little bit of an advantage there, Elsa being a little bit more of a modern character, also being that she was the hero, it gives her a few more relatable points. But I think power, to me, power means impactful more than it does physical fighting, but I think it'd be a tough match. I don't know. What wins, fire or ice?
With James saying that, I can see that, but at the same time, like, just remembering what Maleficent had behind her, I have to say her.
She was one of the most iconic of the Disney villains. I mean, she keeps coming back from, like, one of their oldest films.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's strange. Like, I mean, Elsa's fantastic as a character and also as a, like, her marketing is incredible. I mean, she's everywhere on every Disney product, and Maleficent just isn't.
That's true. That's
anymore,
very
anyway,
rare.
Yeah.
I don't know if she ever was really that much of a marketing thing.
No.
Yeah,
she was evil.
I mean, like, when the
people
new
have
movie
kind of
came
picked
up
on her.
Yeah, you're right. With the new live-action movie, or new-ish live-action movie, maybe. I don't know. Maleficent was always one of my favorite villains.
Yeah.
Mm,
and mostly because she was kind of she was really cool as a human or whatever, or a fairy, but she was a dragon. And I, you know, as a kid, that was just the thing for me. And she was an evil looking dragon. Mm-hmm. It's like one of my favorite visions of what a dragon would look like in all was the Sleeping Beauty dragon.
And yeah. I just want to toss out here that Elsa won in her movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually very true. She, as far as like succeeding...
Maleficent didn't succeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this battle was kind of neck and neck for most of it, but it did end pretty decisively in favor of Maleficent.
All right.
So, like, the first few we get most of our votes within the first few hours of the competition when people are just excitedly voting, and then after a while, the steady votes come in, and... Yeah, it went definitely in Maleficent's favor. All right, so round two, or game two, I should say, in round two. And that's going to be Jafar from Aladdin versus Scar from The Lion King.
Yeah.
This is absolutely a movie I would want to see.
Yes.
Battle of the Goatees.
Battle of the Goatees of the Sassy. I like it.
I still stand by the Scar defense that he successfully won for a good portion of the time. I mean, maybe he wasn't the tyrant forever, but in Lion Years, he was on top for a long time.
It was, what, Jafar, you say maybe 2-3 years?
He was talking about how long it takes for a cub lion to become an adult lion? Because please let us be talking about that.
That is exactly what we were talking about.
But look it up.
Jafar achieved ultimate power, though.
Yeah, he did.
For moments before he got sealed away to then come back in a couple of bad sequels in a TV show.
Also, I think the reason why I personally would have to give it to Scar is Army of Goose-Stepping Hyenas.
Yes.
It's always the best defense. And
when you have Nazi hyenas.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know. There's just something, as much as creepy as Jafar is and as cool of a character as he is, I don't know. There's just something... just, I think, ever so more intimidating about Scar, which is crazy to me because he's a lion.
Jeremy Irons.
Oh, it's Jeremy Irons. Is Jeremy Irons, but hey, take the wins where you get it.
So with all these rounds and these games, we do vote, and we ask people to, while they're voting, to tell us their feedback on why they pick something over the other. So, I mean, obviously people aren't wording it all the exact same way, but what I've seen most often sort of phrased as their reasoning comes down to which one of these usurpers usurped correctly. All right? So get this. Most of the comments against Scar were that, you know, he killed Mufasa. Mufasa was a great leader. He was jealous. Jealousy is his main motivation. Jafar, a fair amount of comments were that... the Sultan was a bumbling idiot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So Jafar actually won for being the better statesman.
Oh, I disagree.
Oh, so Jafar won?
It's saying Jafar won that
game. I disagree.
Yeah, why?
Because Scar eliminated a elitist ruler in... abolished an apartheid policy.
All right. So, similar to the Affordable Care Act, I think that the ultimate results were what dooms Scar. Because, yes, it seems like he had a good motivation. Good? Really? But anyways, like...
You're one of those people that just goes boo-hiss.
It's a wasteland. Scar has a wasteland.
Yeah.
So, I think that's what's damning.
I would argue Scar had the more powerful thing to overcome. The Sultan was a bumbling idiot. Right? Fact that it took Jafar that long to get rid of a bumbling idiot?
Hold on. Point out the fact that we did have George W. Bush as president who won a second term.
So James is saying, monkey's getting weird. But no.
Getting a little political there, sorry.
Yeah. After the Affordable Care Act
Take
comment.
That out of here.
And your Hoover comments? What the hell? But anyways, James is suggesting that Scar is the more powerful character because it's harder to assassinate a popular leader.
No, because it's harder to assassinate a smart leader.
Or a competent. A strong leader.
Didn't Jafar
still have jealousy towards the Sultan anyway?
So much Marxism in this podcast.
They kind of had the same issue there.
Anyway,
you cannot ignore the will of the proletariat.
All right, and on that note, next game would be game three. Mushu from Mulan, who in my opinion is like the ultimate underdog. I'm really not sure. This guy keeps getting close to being knocked out even in the preliminary games, just trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Mushu from Mulan versus Beast from Beauty and the Beast.
Beast.
Beast would eat him.
Like, I mean, he's such a much more powerful character, and at least in my opinion, like, he was one of the first, like, not traditional princes, and in a weird way, like, even when he became human, he still didn't look the traditional part. They had a very weird design for him, but yeah, at least it wasn't traditional.
He had very pouty lips.
All right, pouty lips. Goes to the pouty lips.
Go Bo, angry
did you
bison.
Have something to say?
I think Beast would just eat him.
Yeah.
Wallabeast, you know.
There is the swallowing whole thing. Yeah.
Although Mushu is a concept, because, like, we don't even know most people can see him properly.
Yeah.
I feel like. So, you know, it's hard to destroy an idea.
Yeah. I just see the Beast slurping him up like spaghetti and then, like, coughing up a little fireball.
Or, if he's visceral.
Or
yes.
Cricky.
Yes.
This was actually another competition that was neck and neck up until the very end.
Oh my God.
Yeah, really. I'm not sure why, but it seems as if, like, I'm one of the few people, some people on this podcast have agreed, that said, like, Beast is more significant because of his non-traditional role as a prince. Mm. Mushu is a lot of fun. Maybe significant in, like, cultural appropriate. Like, I don't know. That's cultural.
Not even
I don't know. It seemed kind of like he was just a sidekick character.
Yeah, he seemed like the beginning of the comedians playing sidekick roles. Not in the same vein as Robin Williams, but, you know.
Right. Beast actually did win in the long
Yeah.
So Beast will be moving on to the next round.
I would have been genuinely annoyed if he didn't.
Yeah, I also don't. I didn't want Mushu to fight
win
against.
That one anyway.
Yeah, especially because whoever wins. Won that round, and it was Beast, comes against the winner of Game 4, which was between Ursula from The Little Mermaid versus Rafiki from The Lion King. Battle of the witches and
so,
shamans and stuff.
So I missed it. Who did Rafiki beat to get here?
I don't remember. You really want me to go back in time and try to figure this out?
I'm just saying, Ursula all the way. I mean, Rafiki might be a wise old man, but Ursula's a really powerful sea witch.
This literally happens every time we discuss Rafiki.
Yeah,
people, I bet you go like, Rafiki, he did nothing. And
but
like,
Frank brought up last week that that you rewatch that movie, he very much is a representation of the soul of that film. And like, he kind of comes in and says the important lessons that, like, really, like, Simba has to learn. And he holds the pride land in his hands, like, during...
I don't think I said that.
I guess, but if we're going to keep a film allegory character, why the heck don't we still have Jiminy Cricket?
I understand. I understand why James
Crickets
is being so defensive
delicious.
About this. Get this. In Game 8 of Round 1, Rafiki was up against Bernard and Bianca from The Rescuers.
Oh, yeah. That's
so that's what
you got. So this is the grudge match.
I love Bernard and Bianca. Don't even.
I was with you, James. I was with
We're going to have to escort him out.
See, frequently and physically.
We have read your fanfic.
Just because none of you guys remember that movie.
No, I remember
it. I
think both.
Rafiki is cooler in the movie than you might remember. He does more
Kung
Fu.
He
has
Kung Fu style.
Yeah. Aside from the Kung Fu, like, he cries. That's important to me, I guess. But Ursula is, again, one of those iconic villains. We were originally going to do heroes versus villains exclusively for Disney's March Madness.
Yeah.
And there weren't 32 villains that we could pick from. Like, most of them were like, well, these will be removed in the first round. And Ursula was, like, amongst the top 10. Like, she was really cool. And plus, she does an amazing burlesque number if you go to the right clubs. Game 5, Mulan from Mulan versus Mufasa from The Lion King.
Oh, wait, so
heartbreaking.
Ursula won?
Ursula did win Game 5. So Game 5 is Mulan versus Mufasa. God.
I'm going to say is opposable thumbs really help here. Weapons, too. Weapons are a real advantage.
This is true.
No, yep. I'm Mulan. I love Mufasa, but...
Mulan's
just
a beast with a sword.
Well, and for a lot of reasons, Mulan in her movie and
but
choices
Mufasa's
they made.
Mufasa's a beast in general.
And
but
then he becomes a force ghost at the end.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's
so
true.
How do you beat the embodiment of the force?
You can't cut a cloud with a sword.
I would love to see this.
But
actually, I'm pretty sure that was a lyric from Pocahontas.
It is.
Now that Star Wars is within the Disney universe, I would very much like to see lightsaber wielding Mulan fighting force ghost Mufasa. Make this happen, J.J. Abrams, who listens to every one of our podcasts religiously.
Hi, J.J.
We call him Jay. We just have the one Jay.
Get on it.
Mulan did win this competition.
I'm not
pretty
surprised.
Decisively. But it was, you know, Mufasa put up a pretty good fight, and I'm proud of him. Now go with your ancestors, you big furry lion. Okay, Game 6. Baymax and Hero from Big Hero 6, a movie I still haven't seen, versus Shere Khan from The Jungle Book and Tailspin and etc.
So
I'll say pop.
Here's
my
issue with Shere Khan, and you know it's tough because I think I'm not sure if I go Baymax or Shere Khan, but Shere Khan in The Jungle Book freaking terrifying. Shere Khan and Tailspin, kind of a bumbling idiot.
Get out.
Not really, actually.
Get the hell out of this podcast.
He's pretty confident,
get away from
actually.
The mic. You are off mic. I can't mute your mic because you're sharing one right now.
He's definitely
get him off
lame.
The mic. I'll mute you too, Al. First of all, this pretender over here, this
Bernard and Bianca.
Who cares?
It's not that difficult,
out,
Frank.
Well, pretty difficult because they didn't even make it past one round.
Oh.
Obviously
do
hasn't seen Tailspin since ever,
yeah.
Because he was like he was proto Xanatos.
He was
tenting fingers and like manipulative. He was a businessman. He was Trump esque, but not like recent Trump.
Why are you remembering him like a Rakshasa from?
Because I've always imagined him as one. You hit the nail on. This is weird. I might have to cut that out of the podcast because that's my old secret little fanfic. Shut your whore mouth. Anyways, he didn't win.
Aww. After all that,
Baymax and Hero. barely made it.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised. I didn't think a lot of people would root for Shere Khan.
Oh, no.
Because nobody has the same fanfic.
No, because I feel like Jungle Book's such a big, iconic film. And, like, if him being one of the last characters that are still standing from that film series.
What happened to all the other characters in your mind, Al?
They all
there's only, like,
died.
Him and Baloo. That's
oh,
it.
Oh, you met in what? This competition.
Yeah.
I thought, like, they had all, like it was an Oscar reel, where it's, like, all the characters, like, the...
Plus,
whatever.
you do have the advantage of the new Jungle Book movie coming out, probably as people thinking about.
But it hasn't come out movie. Yet.
No, but I'm going to say.
But it wasn't much of an advantage because he lost.
Well, yeah. Game 7, The Incredibles from The Incredibles versus Merida from Brave. The Pixar battle, as we have been.
Yeah, I kind of feel like The Incredibles are going
to
walk away with this one because they're as a
team.
Yeah, no, but as a family unit, there's something that they've built about right. themselves and how like incredible they were. You know, pun not intended. As just characters that we got to enjoy. I mean, that was a very real superhero family.
But there's a determined Scott with an actual lethal weapon.
Mm. True. Monkey, do you have an opinion?
Bears. She had bears. Like lots of bears.
Superpowers don't work against bears.
I mean,
have you ever read
a
comic?
But all Violet has to do is just put up a force field and done.
We stop the bears.
If you're talking power versus power, clearly the Incredibles win, right? Because like superpowers.
Except willpower.
even then.
Enough for you. But yeah, if you are talking about like significance or willpower or what have you, Merida has a lot of merits. So it was kind of neck and neck. Again, the first stage of the competition, all the votes were looking like this was going to be a tie. I'm very close to looking at the votes because I want to know if it's a tie, I have to prepare the tiebreaker round before the podcast airs. So like usually the day before we do the podcast, I check to see what the results are. And then I see whether or not they beat. So it was neck and neck, Merida and Incredibles. But a last minute push, which was incredibly decisive. Incredibles trounced.
Yeah.
So here's what I'm thinking, although we didn't get a lot of feedback on the form, so this is just me spitballing here, but it fits with what my theory is.
Somebody spammed it.
I we check for that. But what I think is happening is that Merida is a drop in the narrative bucket. She is effectively a princess that wants more than her station. Right? She doesn't want to just get married and live happily ever after. She wants things that are more significant. But that is the narrative pathway of almost all Disney princesses since at least Ariel.
Yeah,
right?
You could say.
The Incredibles are the Fantastic Four.
Right. But but Merida is like easily lost in the group. So even though she's the best at all of those, in my opinion, I think it's easy to get lost. And Incredibles is the best version of a superhero family I've ever seen on film. So, I don't know. I think
that's
that
because you've never seen the Bionic Six, Frank.
I have seen them on film. I have. I've been invited to that party. It was the day the clown cried, or whatever the hell that horrible movie was.
What?
Oh, look it up. If you could figure out what I just said, look it up.
I don't think I'm on it, but all right.
And then it was the Bionic Six movie that Jerry Lewis filmed. Actually, it's his birthday today, I think.
Oh, happy birthday, Jerry.
All right. Okay. We call him Jay.
Let's get to the hot topic showdown.
Yes. Game 8, Oberon from Gargoyles versus Jack Skeleton from The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, it's unfair. I think Jack just trounced this
one. I got to find some yellow cards.
I mean, Jack can't die because he is the embodiment of death.
Is
well,
he?
He's the embodiment
he's
of
death?
Halloween.
Yeah, he's just Halloween.
And Oberon is all fairydom.
Yeah.
King of fairydom. I can't even pretend to make this game one-sided. It was pretty decisive in favor of, you guys want to hear it, Jack.
Yeah, we all kind of knew. I mean, as much as it was so strange that Oberon beat his last opponent as well as he did, I knew he wasn't going to last through this fight.
I think you're thinking about it. Just the Jack. Names off the top of your head. Like, you think Jack, like, oh, I know him. He's like, the Ooh. Other one you have to kind of think of.
Yeah,
you have to
go back and like, there was a guy named Oberon in the Gargoyles
I'm
cartoon?
A huge
the
fan.
The Fairy King is no match for the Pumpkin King.
Mm-hmm. I am a huge fan of Gargoyles, but
I am too, but Jack. Like
Oberon was not the character I thought would make it. Game 9, Hades from Hercules, who is actually a low-seeded character for various reasons, versus Baloo from the Jungle Book and Tailspin. So,
poor
you,
Baloo.
James, you have any opinion? You're back off. You could talk to the mics again. Do you have any opinions about Baloo from Tailspin? Was he a raconteur? Was he
all right? I'm just going to put it out there. I'm just going to put it out there. I don't get Tailspin. I just don't.
Get the hell out of here. What is this guy doing? If you don't get podcast, if you don't get Tailspin, leave a comment on this podcast so we could find you.
There we go. All
right.
But I mean, Hades, right? I mean, if we're talking like magical powers, the whole nine yards, I mean, Baloo is just a bear.
Baloo is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
He's a lot of fun.
I feel like everybody loves Baloo, where like some people may not appreciate the character of Hades. Everyone loves Baloo. Mm-hmm.
That's true. If people are just voting popularity contests, Baloo gets more votes, I think, than Hades.
Yeah, but as far
but
as powerful,
hard to be more powerful than the god of death.
Right. Yeah.
But that's not necessarily not that, what we're talking about.
But more importantly...
Like physical power.
Yeah, so more importantly is that I don't think Baloo hits the other hit of like significance.
No, I don't think he does either. Like, I think he's a very popular...
He's cool, but I don't know if he's significant. And the votes... We're very one-sided on this one. Hades wins.
Yeah.
Hades wins, hands down.
But God versus a bear.
But right. Baloo taught me how to scratch my back as a child.
And sing and dance.
There are people you could talk to about that.
Actually true.
Game 10, Donald Duck versus Winnie the Pooh. Oh, God, this was a much bigger nightmare
scenario.
Someone
had a really funny argument against us. Was it you, Frank? Someone
what
about how that? Donald would react to fighting Pooh. And I don't remember.
Winnie the Pooh. Yeah, no, there's like the ultimate in passive, no, regular aggression.
Yeah.
And the ultimate in just.
In Taoism. I think someone says
peace.
Yeah, I just feel like Pooh is definitely, in my mind, a pacifist. Like, as pacifist as they come.
Well, no, we had Pooh powerfully fighting pacifist. Another pacifist.
Yeah. And Donald is kind of just round, this duck with a temper.
It flies off the handle.
Yeah, that's
but it doesn't necessarily kill people or anything like that. You know?
But Pooh will help you find really the handle and then try to put it back on.
So when polling originally, this thing goes live for non-pro audiences first, and it went not decisively, about 50-50. Actually, pretty, it was favoring Winnie the Pooh. Mm-hmm. But then when we opened it up for bigger audiences, we shared it on social media, it was decisively one-sided, and it went... They actually overcame the initial audience from Nampo, and it went to Donald.
Yeah.
Donald won.
Well, he is establishment character, you know, that we're talking about.
He's the bourgeoisie.
No, he's the birther of the duck universe. I mean, he has some power and influence based solely upon that, really.
I don't think you know what a birther is.
yeah.
Speaking of the Affordable Care Act... Birthers? Nobody?
No.
Wow,
no.
It's 2000. Wait, we already forgot everything from 2012.
Still not the same.
None of my
because Trump was behind that, and we all want to forget about it.
Anyway.
Game 11. Shere Khan is out of the competition. Game 11. Belle from Beauty and the Beast versus Tiana from Princess and the Frog.
Oh, yeah, another cat fight.
Yeah, this is... Stop it. That's so sexist. There are actual cat fights in this. Are they? Or actually,
No. You pick two lions, that don't have cat fights.
Yeah, they have not yet pitted against each other. No lion, no tiger. And in fact, no possibility since so far the only lion and tiger is out.
Yeah.
Simba is still in.
Simba's still. Yeah, we haven't gotten to that yet.
I'm glad we had this little aside. How are we doing? Oh, game 11. Belle from Beauty and the Beast versus Tiana from Princess and the Frog.
This is so tough because I love both of them.
That was the same thing for me. I was like.
Belle was my first princess character that I absolutely fell in love with. And then Tiana came along with Jazz and. Neck and neck for me.
And there's something, you know, and I think for me personally, I give the edge to Tiana just in the way I relate to her. There's something about the way that movie comes together. And you know, there's something about I love the song where it's talking about, you know, like it's hard work and dedication. And
almost
those are
there.
The things that, almost there. Thank you. That, you know, that really gets me and feels like it sets her apart. But you know, I certainly won't be disappointed if Belle
wins. It's because they're both so resourceful.
In a weird way, Tiana is much definitely separates herself from the pack by like having a clear and concise goal as to what she wants. Not only does she want more than what the other Disney princesses have wanted, she knows exactly
she
what
wants
that thing
business,
is.
A successful business. Yeah, that is very true.
And
everybody
she
asks,
was there.
I want
she
something
had it.
More. All right, what do you mean by that? I don't know, a guy who's cool.
And I mean, then in the end, she worked up all the money, and the only thing that really pushed over the edge was that she had an alligator leering at the loan department. But she still had her money.
Just remember, I totally forgot about that, but yeah, you're right.
I personally just think Belle's intelligence pushes her right over. I mean, she's the notable bookworm. I feel like she'd be able to whip together some sort of plot.
Aren't you kind of assuming that intelligence, based solely upon the fact that she just reads a lot?
That's fine. Yeah, that's what you do. You read and you get smart.
Well, I mean, you don't necessarily...
Depends on what you read.
Yeah, again, it was she reading
Once
science
Once again,
books?
We're not
no.
talking about Ayn Rand in this podcast, James.
I mean, either way, though, we're talking about...
I'm actually convinced that Belle was reading exclusively Lovecraft, and Cthulhu's now going to pop out and destroy Tiana.
Well, that might have been what gave her the edge, potentially.
I was just going to say, but like James is saying, there's no, like, anybody would be happy with either one winning, because they're both kind of, like, outliers to the typical princess. They're both, you know...
Workers? Guess,
yeah, but, you know, they both have, like, atypical...
paths.
Yeah, that's it. sure, let's go with that. Atypical paths and, you know, atypical hobbies and things that make them kind of jump out from the other princesses.
Are you suggesting that Tiana's business acumen is a hobby? You get the hell out
no,
of this
No, actually, I was trying to say qualities before, but the word wasn't coming to me. So, you know, they're both, as we said...
outliers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's go with that. I'll stop there.
I'd have to say they're both on pretty even footing, but I'd have to give the edge to Belle because I believe there's a high incidence of casual racism in amongst our audience.
All right. Well, that might be the reason because Belle did, in fact, win. Pete just calls... it like he sees it, don't he? No, I think Belle did win, and you're unfortunately, right, we don't have a lot of feedback on this one, so it could be casual racism. I guess
no
we're going
to
go with that.
No one's willing to admit to it.
It also could be the fact that one character has been around for like decades longer, and that most of the people who would be feel championed by Tiana are probably like around 12 now.
You never forget your first.
What?
What?
For Belle, you were
princess.
Even saying,
yeah,
the first princess you cared about.
My favorite thing was how defensive Monkey got afterwards. He's like, screw you guys, that was appropriate.
This was completely appropriate. Hold on.
I mean, I'm fine with having Belle as my first.
Game
anyway.
12. All right, this is a good one. Game 12, because all of the other ones suck. No, game 12, Wally from Wally versus Mickey Mouse from Fantasia and cartoon shorts.
Oh, God.
Mickey Mouse.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
Even though I love Wally, I have a feeling Mickey Mouse won.
Exactly. I love Wally, but I mean, the mouse started the empire. If there's anybody who's set to win the competition.
This was the big Pixar versus classic Disney fight, and I mean, not that this is the definitive fight. They're like, hey, any other comparison this point over, mute. It's like, but I really feel like I was so interested, I was so invested, and I really want to know how it turns out. I mean, it might be Mickey, but wouldn't it be just stunning if all of a sudden it was Wally, and it came out to be like this whole thing of like, you know what, hey, Pixar.
If Donald Duck beat Winnie the Pooh and Mickey Mouse didn't beat Wally, I don't understand how the world works.
And for me, I mean, especially when we use Mickey Mouse from Fantasia as the first thing, you're talking Sorcerer Mickey whooping it.
Right.
That's what someone brought up in the comments, I think,
too.
To be fair,
we're talking power.
He really just animated brooms and almost drowned himself.
Yeah, but he had the potential of also drowning the world.
And then got beat in the rump.
And
by
that somebody. Water would short circuit Wally.
So here's the thing. This is
get out.
This is probably our most. This might be the closest competition we had of the entire round.
Yeah.
So that's kind of crazy when you think about it. I don't even think Wally is my favorite Pixar character. Maybe
not really.
But maybe he's the most iconic Furley film.
He's definitely
like,
close to mine.
Are there other like I don't know? There's like everybody
story.
Else. Yeah, but like who's the most important?
Lamp.
The lamp is the most iconic character in Toy Story. Is that true?
Their first short film?
No,
I mean
Pixar.
The Pixar
like
lamp.
The Pixar lamp.
No, my point is like in like you can say Wally from Wally, but limit it to one incredible, you know?
Yeah.
But anyways, it was very, very close. And by only the margin of a few votes, Mickey won.
Yeah.
I mean, the last competition that Mickey won, he won solely because he's the icon of Disney.
Which I think he's still probably riding that high.
And I think he will, maybe till the end.
Wally is not the icon of Pixar.
I'm kind of with Frank.
Remember, game 24 of round one, Mickey versus Dr. Facilier from Princess and the Frog, was not that...
decisive?
Was not that... It was surprisingly indecisive. So I don't know about Mickey. Mickey, you better... Mickey Mouse fans, start voting for him. Don't just assume people are going to vote for Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
That's what we learned about this election cycle, is don't just assume someone's going to vote for your candidate.
I think, didn't someone say that Mickey shouldn't have been in the contest, though, because he is going to just be seen as an icon, though?
Well, so. Apparently he's going to be kicked out of the contest just by failing to get votes, so yeah, I'm not sure if that's true.
Come on. I want to hear this next one.
Game 13, Mary Poppins versus Chernabog.
Now this is the movie I want to see.
I would totally watch a fan film of this.
Oh my God, I would contribute to a Kickstarter for this movie.
Right back. Here's the thing, Chernabog from Fantasia. Why am I saying that? Because I don't know how many people know who Chernabog is by name alone. I think you'd have to look it up. And if you just said Fantasia, I don't like anything from Fantasia, you're not voting for that character. Mm-hmm. Chernabog is, of course, the big demon thing from on Bald Mountain.
He is Beelzebub.
So this is interesting.
Oh, no.
Mary Poppins by a lot.
As of the start of this podcast, this was a tie.
What?
In fact, we shared it on social media earlier in the day that this is we need this as a tiebreaker because we don't know who's going to go on to fight the next round.
Oh my.
So it's going to be exciting. We will reveal that truth at the end of the podcast.
Okay.
Unless that's also a tie, in which case I have no plans.
Can we see? Can we? Three-way can battle? I ask where we're voting? No.
Oh yeah, you can. I think the easiest way is facebook.com/nonpro.
Yep.
Okay. Or twitter.com/nonpro.
Got it. All right. Good.
14. Game 14. Mm-hmm. Simba from The Lion King versus... Why am I only doing a voice now?
I don't know.
Way too late. Game 14. Simba from The Lion King versus Xanatos from Gargoyles.
I think Xanatos because he's a genius. And when we go back to that opposable thumb argument, really.
Mm.
And Simba is but... Well, he's kind of the cowardly lion if the cowardly lion, you know... Was from royalty.
Okay, I think Al has to lose Mike privileges now.
But Simba's just not really, doesn't have much of a backbone until Rafiki kind of smacks one into him.
There's a lot of weakening.
Did you not remember him defending Timon and Pumbaa from Nala?
Yeah, but before she pinned him.
Yeah, she actually beat him.
She pinned him again.
But she always pinned him,
But he tried. He still fought his all against
her. That's not cowardly.
Yeah.
That's just incompetence.
Big difference.
So I think this is closer than you would expect. So game 14, Simba versus Lion King versus Xanatos versus Gargoyles. I did not read that correctly.
Nope. Not one bit.
Yeah, it went to Simba. I'm shocked.
Really?
I'm absolutely shocked. Yeah. Wow.
Why are you not?
No, because people know who Simba is and people don't know who Xanatos is.
I think our audience...
I'm overly simplifying it, but it's a popularity.
I think that it might be similar along the lines of within our non-pro community. And that might go wrong against the stats, but I think you open it up to the world.
No, you're right.
It's kind of weird all of a sudden, that our
Simba got a boost once we open it up to the world. Mm-hmm. But not a super significant one. It was pretty close, which means Xanatos, that most people got him, but not enough to get the edge.
Xanatos is a very powerful character for a very narrow window. People who were watching TV at a very narrow period of time.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I remember it.
And Simba was the lead character in one of Disney's most popular films.
Highest grossing.
And he was really he's the reason, you could argue he's the reason why Disney has that much power. And
he's got his own Broadway play.
Right. Yeah. And then there's, of course, Lion King 3, Ice Age. All right. Game 15 is Stitch from Lilo and Stitch versus Rapunzel from Tangled.
I want Stitch to win. Not gonna lie, I love my Stitch.
I really like Rapunzel a lot. I think she's probably one of, if not my favorite Disney princess. And I'm really hoping she won this, but I don't think she did.
She's okay in my book. I like her.
Yeah, I'm with Lindsay. I like Rapunzel. I like Tangled.
I like how quirky they went with her, but I think that was kind of the only characteristic that kind of gave her
really
for most of
I feel like overcoming the abuse of a parent or a supposed parent, I felt like that was a very powerful story.
No, it was very powerful. And we definitely got to see,
and it was also
parenting.
Again, I feel like she's an important character because it proved that Disney could do this without Pixar.
But, I'll give you that. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I feel like there's still so much heart in Stitch and kind of there being is. That out, oddball and that outcast.
Andy's a record player.
You know, I just, yeah, I don't know. I also love me some Stitch.
I love my Stitch.
Lilo and Stitch got a lot of love from our voting audience throughout the competition, even through the few rounds in the seeding competition. Lilo didn't make it. I think she was up against Genie in the first round.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous.
Yeah, if I remember right. Yeah.
Which means I think a lot of the Lilo and Stitch love was handed directly to Stitch, who won this round of the competition.
Yay!
Game 15, Stitch moves on to the next round.
Yay.
All right, our last game of this round.
No, no.
The biggest tearjerker of all.
No.
Game 16.
I think this one's like a band-aid. You just got to rip it off.
Yeah. Aladdin from
this
Aladdin.
Band-aid. This is a cast.
Versus Genie from Aladdin.
Yeah, it's like a cast. You just got to rip it off.
Yes. A cast.
We do not suggest you rip off your cast, folks at home.
I do.
All right.
Affordable
health
care, you might want
to. Yeah. Back to that. Very political. Very political. Anyways, This is heartbreaking in many ways, because if you actually picture Aladdin and Genie having to fight each other for whatever reason, we are monsters. We are history's greatest monster. We are Tom Hanks.
I mean, you do see Aladdin beat a genie in the movie, so there's that.
There's that.
And
yeah.
And didn't they face off when Jafar had control of the genie?
Yeah, technically.
Yeah, I mean, who didn't watch that and was just screaming at the screen, "Finish him! Finish him!"
I need counseling now, thanks, though.
No, none of us were doing that at all.
I still have my heart, so no.
Here's my question to you, Frank. Specifically for this one, how much hate mail did you get about your parents?
Every comment. This is the problem. Every comment was, "Why did you do this?" None of them were like, or very few of them were like, "Well, it depends on who has the lamp. If Aladdin has the lamp, he has agency because he has, like, a soul," which is weird. I don't know who's been filling out these comments. There's a lot of weird things that were going back and forth. But despite the debate that happened in the comment sections, the votes were pretty damn decisive.
Genie.
Moves on
to the next round.
I mean, as much as Aladdin's the main character, Genie's the star.
If anybody else had the lamp beyond Aladdin, one wish, Aladdin's death.
Well, technically he can't do that.
You just wish for
a boulder directly above his head.
There you go.
Boom. He ain't never had a friend like me. Ooh, sorry.
So I'm trying to do the math here. All right. So now it's the end. We're coming to the last game. Actually, this is game 13, which has been indecisive. I'm going to end up checking the results right now. And I literally don't know how this is going to go down.
The tension
is
palpable.
So we face the final curtain.
All right. So you guys are going to find out who moves on to round three.
I know the answer.
Mary Poppins or Chernabog?
Mm-hmm. This is tough.
I got to give it to the embodiment of evil, you know, who's all powerful.
Don't say that about Mary Poppins.
Original bag of holding.
Literally what happened here was everybody did like a Three Stooges joke, and they all kind of got stuck in the doorway. But basically, Pope, you want to set us up again?
Try it. I was saying, you know, the embodiment of evil and all powerful with all of the magic, not Chernabog.
Versus a simple woman who is practically perfect.
Chernabog is not a simple woman.
Thank you, Pete.
We did it again. God. Fill in your own podcast, people.
Yeah, I quit. I'm done.
And the slimmest of margins by 3 votes. Mary Poppins was on.
Woo!
This is super exciting for people like us who have no physical fitness whatsoever. I don't know.
Excuse you?
Yes. So yes, I'm extremely excited by this competition.
And you have nothing.
So is DJ Lumberjack, who provided the music for this episode. To find out more about our March Madness competition, go to non-productive.com, specifically non-productive.com/vote, which you could, I think, still vote for round. Well, I think you can still vote for Mary Poppins and Chernabog as of now. But
round
3 is coming out. I think we're just going to post it on the website. We're not going to make this overly long.
Yeah.
Okay. You'll see what you can figure it out or look at our website and find out what the next round is. It's going to be exciting because there's some crazy, crazy matchups in round 3. Our Sweet 16 have been released. Thank you all. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.